So as I said earlier, today is our covenant service, and that means today we are invited to renew our covenant with God and open our lives and our church to God's direction and purpose this coming year. Covenant is about being connected with God in a relationship that is nourishing and life-giving. And the heart of the covenant relationship is a promise made by God. As we were reminded through the prophet Jeremiah, God says, "I will be your God, and you shall be my people." And this morning we celebrate this wonderful promise and try to figure out what it might mean in practice. And to help us, we have heard the words of Jesus as recorded in John's Gospel, chapter 15. "I am the vine," says Jesus in verse 5, "and you are the branches. I am vine, and you are the branches." You can kind of see the branches on the picture on the screen, but it's more about leaves and grapes on the screen. But we get the idea, the vine and the branches. And if we're thinking about covenant, and we're thinking about relationships, you can't be in much closer relationship than that. So we'll reflect a little on this figure of the vine and what it has to say to us today as we renew our covenant with God. Vines are amazing plants. They are prolific and productive. And once rooted, they don't stay put, but grow in all and every direction if given the opportunity and something to support them, whether it be the ground, a fence, a tree, or a building. Vines can be very fruitful. In fact, some of our favourite food plants are vines, including tomatoes, squash, cucumbers, melons, and beans, and of course the grapevine, referred to by Jesus in the Gospel. Other vines are beloved by gardeners for their beauty, such as honeysuckle, passion flowers, clematis, and wisteria. We have a small wisteria that grows up the fence at the bottom of our garden. And my goodness me, you really have to keep it in check because it will take over the whole of the bottom of the garden if you let it. At one moment it's just sitting there doing its own thing, and the next minute Marianne has a bird feeder that's about a yard, maybe a yard and a half away. Before you know it, it's taken over the bird feeder. That's what vines can be like. They can be pests, with ivy, kudzu, and jungle vines overgrowing anything they can get a hold of, whether it be houses, fences, abandoned structures, or even entire lost cities in the jungle. So different vines have a variety of characteristics, but the focus of Jesus' teaching today is the vine's fruitfulness. The vine's fruitfulness. And critical to a vine's fruitfulness is its trainability. A vine, as I've said, will grow in any direction it is able. But if it is carefully maintained and tended, if it's pruned, or to use the word in our version of the Bible, cleaned, it will be far more fruitful. Back in November, we travelled to the United States, and one of the places we visited was the Napa Valley in California, famous for its wine production. We visited one vineyard to go wine tasting, and it was quite an extraordinary place, built like a historic Italian castle. Imagine an Italian castle, but in California. And it was surrounded by acre after acre of vineyards. The vines all in perfectly straight rows, all aligned in the same direction, and none taller than 4 or 5 feet, both to aid the harvesting of the grapes and ensure that every individual vine receives the optimum sunlight. And I'm sure that things were not so different in Jesus' day, albeit on a much smaller scale. And so Jesus' vine also has a gardener, our Heavenly Father, who tends the vine, trains the vine and prunes or cleans its branches so that it may grow in ways that produce even more fruits. Jesus is the vine, we are the branches. But branches, of course, only bear fruit so long as they remain part of the vine. If you cut off a branch, it will soon die. And so Jesus talks about the importance of the branches remaining, or abiding, as some versions of the Bible put it, remaining in him. Verse 4, remain in me as I also remain in you. So remember that verse. It is remaining in Jesus that makes us fruitful. But there's a problem, because far from remaining in Jesus, we human beings have a tendency to attach ourselves to all sorts of other things in our lives. And these things will affect us, shape us, and change us. The proof, the fruit of this is evident in all of our attitudes and the values we hold, our priorities and motivations, the things we invest our money in and our energy in and our time. The fruits we bear in our lives, the fruits we harvest, result from our attachments and our rootedness. And if the vine we are attached to is rotten, so too will be the fruits. So here's the question we must sincerely ask of ourselves. Where are we remaining? What are we rooted to? Are we truly remaining in Jesus? Are we letting Jesus remain in us? And that's a difficult question. I struggle just thinking about it. It seems like the answer should be easy. I want to say, of course, I remain in Jesus. Of course, Jesus remains in me. But if I'm honest, I have to recognize that often I do not remain in Jesus. I'm far more attached to the values and the priorities of this world. Things that seem to demand little of us, but which can end up controlling us. Our remaining seems fruitful, our vines seem healthy. They might even be producing grapes, but they're rotting grapes, sour grapes, grapes that are unable to produce the wine of the kingdom. In fact, we find that what we've produced is not even fruit, but weeds. We're unwilling to face the reality that we need to be cleansed and pruned, and we are unwilling to have anyone, anything, question our fruitfulness. And these weeds keep us from experiencing the grace that God has given us. For these weeds that we confuse with fruit are not allowing us to move forward and to grow in love of God and neighbour. One of the places where I see the weediness mistaken for fruitfulness is in the unhealthy rhetoric, the language of our day, in our civic life, in social media engagement, in political discourse, and in personal conversations. We have become polarized and divisive. We become unwilling to listen, unwilling to see other points of view, and impatient with those who do not share our opinions. You'll have heard the phrase, cancel culture, mass shaming, intimidation, or hostile debate with those we disagree with. And I'm afraid that's as true within the church, amongst Christians, as it is outside the church. We couch this weediness in talk around what is right, what is true, what is godly, but in the end, we have questioned others' motives, we've called others' names, we have made caricatures of the positions of others, and we have become peddlers of untruth. And all this shows us that none of this is truth, none of this is remaining in Jesus. As a society, and even as churches within our society, we've allowed fear, ignorance, and our limited understanding of God to take root in our souls. We have chosen to allow our souls to become rooted in a religious version of ourselves, instead of being rooted God's abiding love. In addition, many of us who claim the way of Jesus, who have been called by God to love God and neighbour, to love even our enemy and to be bearers and speakers of truth, have not lived differently. Instead, we've carried the unfruitful practices of our society into the church. It's no secret that one can be deeply and busily engaged in things of the church in ways that are publicly recognised, and yet the activities may not be truly connected to Christ. In such cases, Jesus tells us that the gardener eventually gets around to pruning out such branches. We cannot say that we have not been warned. But, thanks be to God, through Christ, he gives us an invitation. Christ says, "Come and open yourself to be engrafted to me. I have strong roots. I have all you need to make you fruitful, alive, and flourishing. Just remain in the vine. Just remain in me." And the gospel provides us with a mirror that shows us the beauty of fruitful remaining in Christ, of God's call to a new life in relationship with him. We must be willing to stand in front of that mirror. We must be willing to see that what we so often think of as fruitfulness is nothing but weeds. And only then we'll be able to see what it looks like to let God clear the way so that we can live a more fruitful life. It's not easy. It requires a dramatic vulnerability, even a willingness to let go. And this willingness to let go and embrace vulnerability is expressed in the words of the covenant prayer, which in a little while we are invited to make our own as we say to God, "Your will be done, when I am valued and when I am disregarded, when I find fulfillment and when it is lacking, when I have all things and when I have nothing. I willingly offer all I have and am to serve you as and where you choose." And if all that seems incredibly difficult, requiring a spiritual superheroism that is beyond the capacity of ordinary, struggling disciples such as you and me, Jesus provides us with the way. Because here's the thing, if Jesus had said, "Remain in me, or else," our covenant commitment would be at best hard, at worst impossible. But it isn't. Jesus says, "Remain in me as I remain in you." And that's more than advice, and it's more than an invitation. It's a promise that Jesus is with us, that Jesus embraces us, that Jesus lifts us from our rootedness in sin and death and grafts us into himself. Jesus then becomes our root, our vine, with God the Father being the one who grows it, tends it, and makes sure that it is healthy and whole. We are branches of the true vine, the fruitful and visible presence of Jesus, the field of God's kingdom. I wonder what it would look like for Southgate Methodist Church if this coming year were committed to living in this way, to living in fruitful remaining. I wonder what it would look like if we were committed to being in loving and respectful relationship with others, even those we disagree with, whether inside or outside the church. If the energy which might be wasted in anxiety and fearfulness was used instead to grow the fruits of charity, kindness, forgiveness, justice, and peace. I wonder what it would look like for us to actually put the covenant prayer into practice as a church, as a community. "Your will, not mine, be done in all things, wherever you may place me, in all that I do, and in all that I may endure." What might that mean for us as a community, to go where Jesus would lead us, alongside the people with whom he would place us? As John Wesley said, "Not to those who need you, but to those who need you most. Where might that bring us in this coming year? And again, in the spirit of the covenant prayer, I wonder what it would look like for us as a church to set aside our own preferences and priorities and yield all things to God's pleasure and disposal, to shift the focus away from the church and towards God and his kingdom. And in this confusing time of economic uncertainty, political polarization, fake news, and intolerance towards people of different opinions, backgrounds, and cultures, together we must be willing to engage the difficult conversations of our day. Allow the fruit of our remaining, the love and grace of Jesus, to be made known in our community about us through conversations that uplift, restore, renew, and honour the image of God in the other. In this way, we can be agents of reconciliation, rooted and remaining in Jesus, bearing the fruits of his love. Dear friends, as branches of the true vine, may God so tend us that the fruit we bear for his kingdom may be plentiful and sweet. Amen.